spread the good news.
So you believe your purpose is to spread the good news, okay? What is your purpose, Tony?
It's a broad question.
Okay.
I guess to be more Christ-like with my friends, to show them that there's a reason why we do what we do.
Okay.
There's a beginning. There's a path that we want to follow, and show them why we do what we do.
Okay.
I guess show them Christ.
Show them Christ to be a witness.
Yes.
To be a witness. All right. Alice, what's your purpose?
Support.
Support of what?
Ministries, keeping them together, making sure they don't fall apart.
Okay. All right. Mary, so what's your purpose?
Yeah. I don't have it. I don't have it.
Okay.
I did, but...
Okay. All right. Hopefully by tonight, you'll have a little bit of understanding. Danny, what's your purpose?
My purpose is to glorify God through personal and public ministry.
Glorify God through personal public ministry. Well, I want to tell you guys, I grew up like your typical kid, like everybody else does, you know, for the most part, expecting that I was going to one day grow up and get married and have the kids and the house and the dog and the fence. Because, you know, when I was a little kid, I played with dolls, had lots of babies, you know, all my stuffed animals were babies too. And my brothers, I have three younger brothers, and we used to always play house, and one of them, I always had to play, one of them was Johnny, and he was Johnny because there was this guy that owned a convenience store named Johnny's. And then the other brother had to be the dog, and I had to be Johnny's mother. And you know, you just, this gets the role reversal. So I just, as a kid, I kind of felt that's what would one day happen. And, you know, I grew up and I went to college and I got the job and then the husband didn't come. And you keep, you know, well, eventually, you know, it'll come, and then you kind of get to a place where, well, it might not come. And then I started, I had gotten involved in church and I accepted the Lord and I started growing in my relationship with the Lord and I started noticing as I was growing towards the Lord, the less men I started dating. What's up with that? Because the more and more I got closer to the Lord, the more I wanted what He wanted, and He started getting rid of what I used to want. And the odds of me finding a mate got slimmer and slimmer. And I began to question, well, what am I here for? What's my purpose, Lord? I don't understand. I mean, I know I'm here to serve you and that kind of stuff. I get that part. But, you know, am I not supposed to be married? Is that not supposed to happen? And be happily married? And have the kids and do the whole thing? What happens when that doesn't happen? Well, I'm going to talk tonight about my own journey. And hopefully it'll connect with some of you about your journey, about understanding your purpose. Let me just tell you what your purpose is. Because it's all the same. No, it is. And it's the same as married people too. Because I'll ask people, I said, do you think your purpose is different than a married person? They go, yep, it's different. Because what they're equating is, their purpose is the acting out. They're equating that their value of who they are in Christ is what they do for God. But it's not. That's just the result of the relationship. So our purpose is a relationship with God that glorifies Him, as Danny said. And as a result of that relationship, as Tony says, a relationship with others to bring them to Christ. That's your purpose. Now, the key is, how do you act out that purpose? How do you find the place that God wants you to reach someone for Christ? How do you find the place that God wants you to build relationships with other people to bring them to Him? That's what varies in all of our lives. I remember experiencing God. You remember that Bible study? I remember I was about, I was about 17, 18 years ago, and it was one of the very first Bible studies that came out that was big. You know what I'm saying? It like took 40 days to do it. It was a huge little thing. And I remember I was on day four, and I went, I can't do it, God, I'm horrible. You know, it was so convicting, and I was so far from where God wanted to use me. he says, see where I'm at and jump in. And I'm like, see where you're at and jump in. What is that supposed to mean? Because I had been doing singles ministry. And I was good at it. And I believed I should continue to do singles ministry because I was good at it. Well, this was about the time I moved to this little town that my mother just moved from called Cape Carteret, North Carolina. If you want to know where that is, it's on the coast. If you look at the coast of North Carolina, it's in the part that dips up. So anyway, so I had moved down there. They had moved down there with my dad and retired, and I moved down there, and I had an advertising business, and I had one in Raleigh and one at the coast, and I had been a part of this big mega singles ministry, you know, 700-800 singles. And so I just knew I was going to go down there and I was going to teach them some things. God says, mm-mm. And every church I went to, they said, who are you again? And what are you doing here? And I'm like, well, I was a part of this big mega ministry, and I really am good at what I do. You should hire me. And they're like, this is not the way God does ministry. So I ended up visiting my mother's church. And it was Baptist. I grew up Catholic, got saved in the Church of Christ, went to a Methodist, and then ended up in a non-denominational, praise God, hallelujah church. And then God brought me to a Baptist church. If you raise your hands and think you're having a heart attack. This church had 100 people with 10 old men running things. I had only been there like one Sunday, and I raised my hands to some song. They came to me at the end and said, we don't believe you belong here. We think you'd be better down the road at one of them churches. I went, huh? Because I hadn't really been to one of them churches either. I didn't really know what a Pentecostal church was, you know. But whatever it was, they were afraid. They're like, she's bringing some energy that we're afraid of. And believe me, I didn't want to be there either. It was a denomination I'd never been a part of. It was 100 people. And they were old. And I was the only single. Even the old ones were married. So I'm like, Lord, how far away can you get me from where I was? He goes, pretty far. Because Chris, it's not about you. Because you're getting your purpose mixed up with your doing. You're getting my identity mixed up in your activity. And I'm glad that you're a talented singles person. I'm glad that you were good at doing the ministry. But you've gotten kind of full of yourself. And you forgot it's about a relationship. So I'm going to make sure you understand that. So I said, okay. So this man said, well, I think you need to leave and go down to this other church. And I said, you know, because you said that, I'm staying. He's like, huh? And I'm like, yeah, I'm staying. Oh, they're scared. Well, I said, about this time I started doing that Bible study experiencing God. And they said, jump in where God is working and you'll know if you ain't supposed to be there. So I'm like, great. What am I going to do with this church? I don't cook. I'm not very good with children. I like them, but I don't want to like have them around a lot. I'm like, I don't know what to do. And I said, okay, where do you have an opening? Children's church. Oh, God. What do I have to do with them? Like, what was children's church? Like, do I have to, like, babysit them and, like, play with them? I don't know what to do with them. And they're like, well, this is what we need. And they're like, oh, but can you find something else for me to do? And they're like, no, this is our need. I'm like, okay, fine, God. Join in. I can tell you, it's not my comfort zone. So I told the man, and I said, I'm telling you, it's not my calling. It's not my calling with these kids. But I do it because I want to be obedient. So Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, I'm with these kids. And you know, there's these two that were just driving me nuts. They had ADHDZQR. You know, I get told I have that. I don't think so. I mean, but anyway. And they were really bothering me. And I'm trying to do something with a bottle and some liquid and trying to talk about the ocean or something. I don't know. And they kept bothering me. So, you know, I decided to wear tennis shoes that Sunday. And I tied their shoes to my shoes. So they couldn't go nowhere. So every time they got up to leave the room, the little circle, they're like, So one day, one of the deacons, he like peeked in. He's like, "What are you doing?" I said, "I told you it wasn't my calling." So they moved me to youth. And I was in the youth department, and immediately when I got there, I said, "You go ahead and find somebody else. I will do this for 6 months, but you better find somebody else." And I will tell you that I enjoyed it. I used to pile them all in my truck and go to places with no permission slips, bring them to her house. I mean, I just would, and I really began to see that really my gifting was building, not maintaining. I wasn't a shepherd, I was a builder. And I began to see that, you know, where he was really trying to hone and shape me. So after I left, they hired a pastor to lead the youth. I ended up moving back to Raleigh, and I got involved in a Baptist church because I really liked it. The Baptists were nice. So I got involved. So I ended up joining this church called Highland Baptist. And they heard through the grapevine that I did singles ministry. And they said, "Would you lead our college class?" So I started a college class. Do we have another chair? You can sit right here. Okay, what's your name?
Jeff.
Yeah. Hey, Jeff. Yeah. I'm glad you're here, buddy.
Okay.
Jeff, we've already done the icebreaker. Okay. Where are you from? Well, if you're single, you are from a planet. Okay.
Well, okay, you done that?
Favorite dessert?
Oh, cool.
If you had all the money in the world, where would you go?
Oh.
You missed out on a lot, man. I'm sorry. And we're talking about purpose. So I started the college ministry, and they ended up, after a year, someone took over. And then I started the older singles ministry. And then, because what was neat and what God was showing me is that He knew that I had a heart for singles. But He had to get me in the right place, because my purpose had nothing to do with what I was doing for God. My purpose was a relationship with Him. And as a result of that relationship, a relationship with others. The tool that He gave me was singles. But I'm so thankful that He's also given me women's ministry and greeter ministry and art ministry and singing ministry and lots of other amazing things, but I just don't do them all at once. So, as a single, by the way, your packet has the handout. I don't want you to be lost or nothing. Were you lost getting here?
No.
Okay. Just late. We'll take you. You have a choice in how you define your singleness. More pity party. I hate being single. Are you always telling people, "Hey, you know anybody? You know anybody?" You have a choice in who you follow. You have a choice on who you mentor, who you lead, and who you influence. You have a choice on how to use the gifts that God has given you. And you have a choice on what you leave behind. Let me tell you, singles are outnumbering married people, and that was not God's ideal plan. Not to hurt us, not to discourage us, not to say something's bad. It just wasn't His plan. It's called sin. Selfishness. Because a lot of the marriages that we see that are not working out, it discourages some of us who've never been married, that maybe it's not going to work out for us either. Families don't stay together. You don't have 3 and 4 generations living in a home and helping each other and guiding each other to have successful marriages. So singles are now outnumbering married people. So you can make a difference in how you look at your singleness to other people. Do you look at it as defeat? Discouraged? It's the end of the world? Listen, you're on this earth for like this time, this microscopic time. Who cares if you're single? Who cares if you're married? Marriage is just one tool that God gives you in order to fulfill His purpose. Just like singleness is. Just like Jesus was single. And His singleness affected His purpose. Because there's a lot of things He could have done. There's a lot of things you can't do. Or can do. Because you're single. We're going to talk about them this weekend. There's some good things. I like it. So, your purpose. So, what does it mean to be purposeful as a Christian single adult. We know it's not stuff. We know it's not what we have or what we don't have. It doesn't define us. I ask this question, do you know that your singleness or your place in life is a calling? You're like, oh, I don't think so. Your singleness is a calling? It's your place? 1 Corinthians 7:17 says, nevertheless, each one should retain the place in life that the Lord assigned to him and to which God has called him. This is the rule I lay down in all churches. What I believe Paul is talking about here is that you need to be where you are until God moves you somewhere else. Because you're going to miss something. If you're constantly looking, well, he might be here. He might be here. Or money, or position, or stuff. You miss all that he has right here in front of you. I was sitting here tonight in this chair that was here, and these lovely ladies, Alice and Mary, right? Amen. Thank you. And they were sitting here and they were singing to a song that we're going to get to hear them do on Sunday. Beautiful. And I sat here and I felt the Holy Spirit just pierce in my heart. And I said, look what I get to do. Look what I get to do. I like to find the joy in the immediate moment. I'm like everybody else. I dwell and get worried, and I worry about the future, and the bills are going to get paid, and the economy's bad. And then I just have to stop and blow a bubble. Let me tell you about my bubbles. When traffic is really stressful, people are driving down the road and they're like this. You know, most people buy themselves in the cars. Maybe single, maybe married, I don't know. And they're driving and they're so stressed out. And they're mad because they're in traffic. They don't realize that maybe they're in traffic because God's trying to slow them down. Maybe they're in traffic because God wants to speak to them. Maybe they're in traffic because He wants to say something through the radio through a song and encourage them. But no, they're in traffic. Y'all know because you're in D.C. So I started blowing windows out the window. Yeah. What did I say, blowing windows out the windows? I had a sunroof in my old car, and I blew out the sunroof. And people were driving along, they're like... And they can't figure out where they're coming from, because I'm going out the sunroof, right? And they just like... And all of a sudden, you just kind of like... They start smiling. Because everybody loves a bubble. Can't get mad at bubbles. Right? You can't get mad at bubbles. And the point was like, live in the moment. Live where God has you. Enjoy the little things. My mom was taking a nap and Greg and I were looking at the road on the way up here. We were looking at all these barns, these farms and all these silos and just taking in this beautiful place. As a single, we're such in a hurry sometimes to get to the next thing that we miss all that He has in front of us. I'm going to tell you what, He's not going to bless you with that until you're happy with this. Do you find a contentment here? I was 35 before I found contentment. Now y'all may say, well gosh, it took a long time, or maybe you're still trying to look for it. But I have been in this relationship. I was going to get married. It didn't work out. And I got out of the relationship and I said, fine. Whatever. I finally got to that place and I said, you know, Lord, whatever you want. You want me married? I'll be married. You want me single? I'll be single. But I'm going to stop worrying about it. I'm going to stop dwelling on it. I'm going to stop being in control of it. I ain't going to do no e-harmonize. I'm going to trust you. Because if you know where He's at, I'm going to draw closer to you. Because then you might tell me. Versus e-harmonize. What is that noise? Y'all hear that? That's somebody's phone? There's a video? Okay. Okay. People have asked me for years if they thought that I felt led to be single. And I keep telling them, my singleness has nothing to do with my purpose in life. I'm where He wants me until He moves me somewhere else. Now, the odds of me getting married at my age are pretty slim. Partly because, one, the higher up you go in ministry, the harder it is to find someone that you believe is where you are spiritually. Number two, because I really like being single. I'm kind of set in my ways, and it makes it harder and harder. You know what I mean? Yeah. Because the love part, it only lasts for so long. Because after a while, you're like, you'd be driving in the car like, gosh, I can't even stand where you breathe. So, you know what I mean. So, but, you know what? If that's what he wants, amen. But you know, I think God has allowed me to be single for singles. So that I can always relate. Not that I don't think married people can't lead singles. They can. But it means so much more when someone who's walking it and dealing with temptation and dealing with the struggle and dealing with being alone and dealing with loneliness understands. As someone who says, well, I can sort of relate. Jesus, who was fully God and fully human, was fully single, was called to a life of singleness. However, his singleness did not define who he was or his purpose. It was only the tool that God used to show his purpose. So everything in earth has a purpose. This podium has a purpose because man made it. These chairs have purposes because man made them, or women made them. But understand, God made you, so only He can tell you what your purpose is. But we have a tendency to let people do it, don't we? Colossians 1:16 says, Christ is the one through whom God created everything in heaven and earth. He made the things we see and the things we can't see. Kings, kingdoms, rulers, and authorities. Everything has been created through Him and for Him. Amen?
Amen.
Do you ever have people that try to tell you who you are? Try to tell you who you are because they know your past. But Alice, you know how you are. Isn't this Jesus the carpenter's son? Or they try to tell you what you can and can't do, maybe based on their limits or yours. Well, you know, every time you start something, you fail. You can't ever finish nothing. You start school like 10 times. Can't keep a job. Every time you turn around, you quit your job, you want another job. I have a friend named Elmer. One of these days, I have to bring him up here. I don't know, Dan, if he was at the leadership retreat. You won't forget Elmer. He is way out there, crazy. And I'm one day talking to Elmer, and Elmer can't keep a job. I don't know why people keep hiring him. I think he's had 15 jobs in the 10, 12 years I've known him. And he does everything. He has a master's degree in music. He plays all these instruments. He's a deacon in his church. But yet he'll do a job like clean toilets in a nursing home. Occupational therapy. He'll be a substitute teacher. He'll go do construction. He'll go work on the telephone lines. And then none of them are ever connected to the next one. And they keep hiring him. And he lasts maybe 6 months. And he's quit. Or he gets fired. And he's gone to the next one. So one day I'm like, Elmer, do you want to get married one day? And he said, well, yeah. I said, wives, they really like it when their husbands keep jobs. You know, it's not everything. But, you know, it just kind of makes them feel safe. And especially if you want children, you know, they like to know their kids are going to eat that week. And so I'm just kind of thinking you might want to think about staying somewhere. And he said, well, Chris, I try. He says, but it just, I keep getting let go. And I said, well, what are you doing wrong, buddy? Because he loves the Lord and he's on fire for God and he's fun and he's loud and he's nuts. He says, well, I just gotta tell people about Jesus. And he says, and then they get tired of it. And then they tell me not to talk about Jesus. But then I cannot talk about Jesus. So they fire me. And so I thought to myself, one, he keeps getting hired, yet if they look at his resume, why would they hire him? It's got to be a Holy Spirit thing. And the fact that he's done all these jobs, some of them are very, you know, menial jobs. For someone with a master's degree, because Elmer gets it, it's not about him. It's not about the job. It's about where God's sending him to do his work, to fulfill his purpose in Christ. And you know, it would be kind of tough, but maybe there is a woman out there who says, listen, I got a job. I got a job. Our job will take care of us. But you know what? Some of us need the courage of Elmer. Some of us ain't telling nobody at our jobs about Jesus. Some of us are afraid we might get fired because we're not trusting the Lord. Now, Elmer being single, he can take the risk of getting fired over and over because he doesn't need a lot to live on. Isn't that cool? That God is working out His purpose in the way Elmer, and the way He's doing it, and the way He's working out and working in his life. Well, Elmer is one of my crazy opposite sex friends that I'll talk about a little bit tomorrow. So let me continue on. Or do your friends try to tell you that God has purpose for you? Jeremiah 29:11 gets quoted a lot. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. If one more person comes up and says, well, God's got a plan for you, Margaret Ann. I'm going to choke him, knock him in the head. I know He has a plan, but guess what? It's not in the future. I'm in the plan. And what happens is when you tell somebody that, or you get told that, you sit around waiting. Well, I'll wait for the plan to show up. I know He's got something for me to do, Mary. I just don't know what it is, so I'll just wait. Right? Jump in where He's working. He will tell you if you ain't supposed to be there. And you keep doing that until He tells you otherwise. And you may be another Elmer. It may be you're only supposed to stay somewhere for a short time. And then you're going to go to this next one and this next one. Not everybody has to be like the one person who's done the same thing for 30 years. Why do you have to do the same thing for 30 years? Elmer doesn't. So this scripture, I love it, but to me it makes sometimes single sick. As soon as I'm married, then I'll serve God. As soon as I get this job, as soon as I move here, as soon as I'm not sick anymore, as soon as I'm over this exam for school, as soon as my kids are raised, then I'll really serve God. But that's not how God works. You need to be serving Him now. But how that's worked out is between you and God. For some, like my mom, she's an incredible hostess. Hospitality. She used to love to cook for people and take care of people. That was such an amazing gift that God had given her. My mom has led so many people to Christ. She, when my dad was dying, she couldn't go to the Bible studies anymore because my dad said, take care of my dad. And what I loved about it is that she said, fine, I'll just get on the phone. And I'll call people. And I'll have Bible studies over the phone. Some people would have said, oh, my husband, I have to stay home and take care of him. So I can't go to church anymore. My mom's like, huh? I'll just figure out a different way to go to church. It don't have to do with the way it was. Now, she didn't stop going to church, but I mean Bible study. And she couldn't do the Meals on Wheels. Guess what? She cooked and then came and got the food. Just because your circumstances change or they're not where you wanted to be does not mean you stop serving the Lord. Ephesians 1:11-12 says, furthermore, because of Christ, we've received an inheritance from God. For He chose us from the beginning, and all things happened just as He decided long ago. God's purpose was that we who were the first to trust in Christ should praise our glorious God. Our identity is through Jesus Christ, not our jobs, our family, or our friends. That God planned our purpose long before we were conceived. Our purpose is about a relationship that glorifies Him. And our purpose is a part of a larger picture. It's not about us. Years ago, I worked for this company for a short time. I realized that I'm better working for myself. Because, you know, nobody's going to take care of a customer like me, I felt. And when I worked for other people, their vision and what they call customer service was different than what I believed God was telling me to do. So I was working for this company that said they were Christian. And they welcomed Christians to come and work for them. And I was so excited. So I'm at this company, and all of a sudden, after a period of a short amount of time, 5-6 months, the boss came up to me and said, Chris, you got to stop witnessing to people. I'm like, huh? He said, people are really getting aggravated because every time you turn around, you're bringing God up in the conversation. I said, good, yeah, a lot of lost people here. I said, oh. He said, you need to stop. So at lunchtime, I was in a cubicle. So at lunchtime, I would get on the phone and I would talk to my mom really loudly about Jesus. Because, you know, he can't tell me what I can't do in my lunch hour.
That's right.
And I found one other Christian who got it, and we used to go outside at lunch and pray for our business and for our company. Because we got it. It wasn't about the job. It's never about the job. It's never about where you live. It's not about the people that you're around. It's not about your body size. It's not about your education. It's about a relationship. And when you draw closer to Him, when you get it with Him, He'll tell you everything else. He'll tell you all the other parts. But we want Him to tell us everything, and we don't want to be close to Him. Amen?
Amen.
So, what are the benefits of a life with real purpose? Now, some of you may be sitting there going, I still don't know my purpose. Let me repeat it. Your purpose is a relationship with God that glorifies Him, and as a result of that relationship, a relationship with others to bring them to Christ. How that's worked out is based on your gifts and how God chooses to work them out. So knowing my purpose gives my life meaning. Isaiah 49:4, but I've said I have labored to no purpose. I've spent my strength in vain and for nothing. When you know your purpose, you have a reason to get up in the morning, Eric. Otherwise, you'd be like, oh, great. That's what I do anyway. And you're just like, what's the point? But when you know, oh my gosh, my purpose is a relationship with Him to glorify Him. And today, I don't know where He's going to send me. I don't know who I'm going to talk to. I don't know what conversation I'm going to have. Oh my goodness, I could stop at a store and have a conversation with the chick at the checkout. Oh my goodness, maybe God's going to have me talk to somebody at my job. Oh my goodness, this could be great. This could be wonderful. Because it's not about the job. Wouldn't that be awesome? I have this thing I call a God incident. Some people call it a God wink. I don't think so. God wink is more secular. God incident. God encounter. Every morning, pretty much every morning, I do this. Some mornings I forget. But I pray for an opportunity to share my faith with somebody that day. I pray for a God incident. But here's the thing. God's not going to... First of all, you don't have to go to nobody. God is not going to bring you anybody that you can't share your faith with based on where you are. So I don't ever get Mormons. I don't ever get Jehovah's. They never come to my door. It's like they walk by and go, and they just keep going. I'm serious. My neighbors are like, oh, here they come again. They don't ever bother me because that's not, I don't really know a lot about them. I don't feel that that's an area that God is asking me to witness to. But I get a lot of Catholic people because I grew up Catholic. And I know there's some saved Catholics, but there's a lot of lost Catholics. Just like there's a lot of lost Baptists. And so for some reason, God brings me Catholics who are living in the bondage. I feel like they got to work themselves to heaven. So, hey, come on, let's talk. Let's do it right there. I don't have any problem with it. But every day I pray because here's the thing. And I said this to Gregory driving up here. I wish we weren't in such a rush to get here because I'd love to stop at some of these places. Because if you leave early enough, you get to stop and you get the Lord has a chance to be able to stop you and talk to somebody about Him. When we go to restaurants, we like to ask the server, is there something we can pray for you? Because she or he is coming to your table. What are they going to do, quit? Like, golly, there's a religious table again. You know? So it's an opportunity. But here's the thing. If you talk to people about Jesus at a restaurant, leave a really good tip. Because you represent Jesus. Not your pocketbook. It's His pocketbook. He got all the money. Because we want them to know that Jesus loves them. Really loves them. Amen?
Amen.
So, but I pray for a God incident because I want to work out my purpose. I don't want it just to be bogged down. I know you've got bills to pay. I know you've got work to do. I know the yard needs mowed. I know the bathrooms need cleaning. That's just life. But you can go for a week and not really talk to anybody. Maybe sometimes you don't talk to anybody because maybe you're empty inside yourself. You can't pour out of an empty vessel. So maybe you need to be filled to be able to pour out. I find when I don't want to witness, it's because I don't feel really good that day. Me and God ain't talking real good. Knowing my purpose simplifies my life or brings it into focus. I have a friend, Lydia Ruth. She knows I share this story. I've shared it over and over and over. Lydia Ruth is a friend of mine who went over to Africa and saw that there wasn't enough orphanages for children and came back to America and said, I'm going to start an orphanage. Really? Just like that. You're going to start an orphanage. Pretty big country. I mean, like, it's like a whole continent. Did you have a country in mind? A city? An area of the city? Do you have any idea what you're doing? Nope. Have you thought about doing some research? I guess. Maybe a website. Raise some money. Have you thought about all these things of what already exists? Maybe there's an orphanage already over there that you could go work for. I mean, she hadn't really done any of that. She just wanted to start an orphanage. So I said, okay, well, in order to work towards that, if that's what you believe God is using your purpose to work towards, to build this ministry, this orphanage, these are some things you need to start doing so you can see if God's closing and opening doors. Well, 6 months later to go by, I run into her. And she was on a leadership team for a triathlon. Now, get me wrong, the exercise wasn't the problem, but she was on a leadership team to put this whole big triathlon off. And I said, what about the orphanage? Oh, well, you know, I still want to do it. And I go, really? I said, when you know your purpose, it simplifies things. You know what needs to be laid down. You know what needs to be picked up. And all these things that we're doing, some of us are doing way too much stuff. And we're not good at any of it. Some of us ain't doing nothing. And we need to be doing something. And some of us are doing the wrong things. Singles get pulled into children's ministry all the time. And some of us really don't need to be in it. But we get stuck. Or some of us are in the choir because I've always sung in the choir. And I guess I always sing in the choir. Well, maybe you need to get out and let somebody else in. Maybe there's something else that God wants to do in your life, but you're so afraid to leave it because this is your ministry. And you've done it your way, always your way. And He wants to show you something else. Well, earlier you heard me singing a little bit. I like to sing. Some of you know this story. I sang for years. I sang since I could talk. She regretted teaching me my first song. And loved to sing. And did weddings at the Wazoo. I sang in church all the time. Did solos. And really loved. Not a great singer, but enjoyed singing. And so then one day I asked to sing for my mom, some women's thing that she was doing. And I, because, you know, I was good at singing. And I started to sing Mother, Did You Know? And I went, Mother, did you... Mary, sorry, not Mother. That's my mom, that's Mother. Mother, did you know that you're a baby boy? Okay, but I sang it, Mary, did you know? I was like, excuse me, let me restart. Mary, did you know? And I did the whole song, and I was off key in several places. And when I got done, I told the Lord that I would never sing again until He asked me. Because again, my identity became in my work for the Lord instead of in Him. Now, I loved singing so much. He didn't ask me to sing for 4.5 years. I mean, everybody knew I sung. Everybody knew I did solos. Nobody asked me. But in those 4.5 years, the Singles Network was born. Do I still sing? Here and there. I sang in church a couple weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. I said, I was done. I ain't got to do that again. Because it's not where He has me. Some of you are doing too much and you're splintered in so many ways because you don't know how to say no. And you can't do anything really wonderful and amazing because you're splintered in so many places. Just because you don't use all your gifts, it doesn't mean He's going to take them away. He takes away ones that He's told you to use and you don't use. I still sing. Just in places like this. I haven't stopped singing. I'm not doing it professionally. Because my purpose and the way He's working it out is in singles ministry and other types of ministry. So with Lydia Ruth, when I said to her, how can you... She said, you're right. So she says, I'm going to work on the orphanage. And she went all the way to New York and she interviewed and everything. And then she said, this isn't what God wants me to do. She came back. She got involved in children's ministry and doing some other things with the youth. Ended up getting married and got a baby due in December. Whole life totally was different than what she thought was planned. But here's the thing. You jump in. See if this is where God wants you. He'll tell you yes or no. But just sit there and say, well, I lied to this, I lied to this, I lied. You'll say that you're dead. And nothing will ever happen. Isaiah 26:3 says, people with their mind set on you, you keep completely whole, steady on their feet because they keep at it. They don't quit. Philippians 3:14, brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what's ahead. I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Knowing my purpose motivates my life. Do I look or sound motivated? I remember when God called me into full-time ministry. I said to Him, are you crazy? I said, first of all, I'm almost 40 at the time. I don't have a seminary degree. I'm a woman. I'm Baptist. And I don't look like Barbie anymore. I'm Barbie the after years. And he says, well, good. I'm glad you're not all those things, or you are those things. Now I can really use you. He loves to use us in our weaknesses. He loves to use us in our fears and our doubts and we're just like, but Lord, I'm good. Then I get all the credit. I get all of my power working through you. You will never have a shadow of a doubt that it's me doing it instead of you doing it. Amen?
Yeah.
And I love that because he took me, guys. I am a nobody. I am nothing. I'm something in him, but I'm saying I was nothing in this world. I was something special. I'm not a very good writer. I'm like, okay. You know, I'd spoken and done Bible studies and stuff, but I wasn't really teaching in front of people. I like to tell stories and be kind of silly. I thought he wanted me to be a comedian for a while, and then it was too hard. Sometimes I'm not happy. And I don't want to pretend I'm happy when I'm not happy. I didn't know. I mean, I'm like, Lord, but I don't look like that woman on TBN. I don't know what her name is. She weighs like 120 pounds and got blonde hair. But you know, I don't look like her. Or I don't have these connections. Or I don't have this vast knowledge. I'm not like Joyce Meyer, who has this amazing knowledge of the Bible. He says, well, at one time she didn't either. And so God said, Chris, you got to be willing to let me work in your life. Like Elijah, I've called you to share your faith. I've called you to tell people about me and how I use it and where I put you and what I did. That's up to me. Don't tell me what you can't do. I'm going to tell you what you can do. John 17:4, I brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. Purpose always produces passion. Passion dissipates when you lack purpose. Meaningless work and overworking wears you down and robs you of your joy. Purpose brings glory to God. And finally, knowing my purpose prepares me for eternity. Look at Jesus. His purpose, his singleness and his purpose. Look at how his purpose worked out. Do you think a married man could have gone and done all those things around the country and all the things that he did, how hard it would have been? People ask me, were the disciples single? Well, we only one of them that we know is actually mentioned that there was a mother-in-law involved. It doesn't say either way. I don't know. But they had some understanding wives. Because that's a very, very difficult thing to do. But I think about some of the other singles in the Bible. I think of John the Baptist. You know, and his singleness and the value of that. Going out into the desert and being out there. If he had a wife, she'd be like, where are you going? I don't think so. You know? I mean, think about it. It's the singles. And Anna, the prophetess, and she prophesied Jesus' birth. And she was in the temple. She was a widow. So she was a young woman. And how could somebody who had been married have been able to do that? She'd been home taking care of her children and her husband. But as a single woman, she was able to be in the temple day and night. Jesus' singleness matters, and so does yours. You can do things that married people just can't do or are not able to do. Depends on how you want to look at it. You can have a pity party and just keep wanting to get out of it. Or you can say, that's where you got me. I think some of you are afraid to tell Jesus that it's okay to be where you are. Because he might leave you there. Oh, Jesus, thank you for me being single. Thank you that I'm alone. Thank you that I don't have nobody, that I'll probably never get married. It's just wonderful. I'm so thankful. Who the heck's going to say that? But you know what? That's where you got to get to. Thankful in the good, thankful in the bad, thankful in the plenty, thankful in the empty, thankful in all things, as Paul says, right? You were put on this earth to be remembered. You were put on this earth to prepare for eternity. It doesn't matter what people say about you, but what does God say? When you know your purpose, you become kingdom-minded versus self-minded. So if my purpose is to glorify Him by my relationship with Him, and based on this current relationship, I want to bring others to Christ, but how do I accomplish it? Through the use of your spiritual gifts. Some you're born with, people call them talents, they're not really spiritual gifts, but some people are born, they're singers and artists, and just naturally talented. Some are when you get saved, and some are a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. Some of our gifts show up in a matter of literally Spirit of God, poof, and then they're gone. And then some, when you accepted the Lord into your heart, He gave you some certain gifts to do, and gave us all different gifts to do to build His kingdom. As you grow in the Lord, a lot of you will get more gifts. You'll be ability to do more things. But it doesn't mean you're supposed to do all things at one time. 1 Corinthians 12, 4-6 says, there are different kinds of gifts but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service but the same Lord. Different kinds of working but the same God works all of them in all men. God uses all of our gifts to fulfill His purpose. However, we don't always use all of our gifts. Ephesians 4:12 says, why is it that He gives us special abilities to do certain things best? Is that it is that God's people will be equipped to do better work for Him. You hear that? Building up the church, the body of Christ, to a position of strength and maturity. We use our gifts to work out the purpose in order to build the church to a place of strength and maturity. Real bottom. And the stronger we are, the more we're unified, the more we come together, the stronger the church, the more people we reach for Christ. It's a real simple concept. I look at singles like our fingers. Some of you know this illustration. We're all about ourselves. As we grow, we're all about ourselves. But as we come together, we build the net. And the tighter the net, the closer we are, nothing can get through. And the enemy can't get through either. But as soon as it's all about you, the net tears. And there's a hole. So as singles, we need each other. We need each other. To hold each other accountable, to speak truth into each other's lives. To be supportive, to encourage, to have grace, but also to tell it like it is. Because we can't grow if we don't tell it like it is. I want to share with you a final story. I don't know, some of you may know the story. My mom loves the story, so I said, okay, I'll tell the story. Years ago, I got to speak at a church in Greensboro for a Thanksgiving dinner for singles. They called me up and said, we want you to come and speak at our Thanksgiving dinner. We have about 300, 400 singles coming. Thinking, wow. So I decided to speak on understanding your purpose. So I got there, and they were elderly singles. Like, really elderly. Like, hey, how you doing? And pulling oxygen, and I'm thinking, could they kind of put that in the memo, Jeff? You know, it would have been nice. I mean, it's not, you know, I'm okay with older singles, because I hope maybe one day I'll be one of them, but I was just kind of going, could they just tell me that? Because when you get to be older, Eric, didn't you think that maybe you should know what your purpose is? I mean, by the time you're 80, you should kind of have an idea. And so I was just like, okay, Lord. Yeah, well, fulfilling it. So then I said, well, okay, I'll teach on it. So I told the pastor, I said, well, I wish you'd told me about, you know, that they were like old. And like a lot of them left early because they'd get to bed, you know, many music was kicking in or something. And I said, he says, well, you should have had a backup sermon. A backup sermon. That was his answer. And I said, no, Holy Spirit don't work that way. And I said, but that's okay. I'm just saying that maybe I had a better, appropriate talk. But I didn't know. 3 months later, I'm in Atlanta, Georgia, and I go to this singles group, and this was the wildest singles group. They had literally people from their 20s up to their 90s at this group. I came in, and they said, oh, you should look at our 90s table. I said, oh, you mean like disco or something? They're like, no, there's 90-year-olds at it. They're like, what? And so anyway, this it was so funny. This one older gentleman came up to me, and he was like in his 60s or something, and he said, "Hey, Chris, I want you to meet my mom. She's single, too." I'm like, okay, weird. And I'm there, and I'm doing my thing, and I'm teaching. I was teaching on Shrek. Everything I learned about relationships, I learned from Shrek. And because, all the characters were single in Shrek, and they're all about themselves, and, okay. So they said, "Well, Chris, have you met Hank?" And I'm like, no, I don't know who Hank is. "You got to meet Hank." And I'm like, okay, I'll meet Hank. So he comes up, and he's this little guy. He goes, "Hey, how you doing?" I said, "I'm fine. How you doing?" "I'm fine." I said, "Well, they tell me you have a story. Would you tell me your story?" "Yes." "Now, please forgive me, because I'm not from the North. I do the best I can." He said, "Well, Chris, my whole life, I grew up Jewish. A little kid, I went to temple. I was a good Jewish boy. I grew up, I got married to a nice Jewish girl. We had Jewish children, and I continued to go to temple. Then one day, my beautiful wife, she dies. And my daughter, by this time, had moved to Atlanta, Georgia, and married a Baptist. She calls me on the phone and she says, 'Papi, would you please come to Atlanta, Georgia? I don't want you to be alone in New Jersey.'" He's like, "Oh, but I've got my temple. I have to be at my temple. I've got my friends. But Papi, please come down here. Grandchildren are being born. I want you to come down here and see us family. Come. I don't want you to be alone." "Okay, I'll go. But what about my temple? We have temples here in Atlanta. Come. So he comes. He says, "So I went. One day one of my granddaughters came up to me. She said, 'Papi, please come. Come and see me at church. I'm going to dance.'" He goes, "Oh, Baptist dance." So he said, "I went and she was dancing." The next week, my other granddaughter said, Bobby, come to church. Come and see me sing." "Oh, I have to go. It's my granddaughter." He goes, "I'm sitting in the pew, and the next thing I know, something had lifted me up. I'm down to the front of the church, and the next thing I know, I'm giving my life to Jesus Christ, and I'm getting baptized." I'm like, "Oh, praise Jesus. That's what I want." Because understand, Hank is 83 years old. Got that part. So that's not the story. The end of the story. A week later, he goes to Florida to a little vacationing with his sister and his brother. We're from New Jersey. So he's sitting around a table. He goes, "I've got an announcement to make." He says, "Last week I accepted Jesus Christ into my heart, and I get baptized." And his sister goes, "You get baptized? You're Jewish." And his brother said, "Hank, are you happy?" And he said, "For the first time in my life, I have purpose."
Amen.
That was 5-6 years ago. And Hank does nursing home ministry and shut-in ministry and hospital ministry. And he shares his story. And then it hit me that people in their 80s do not know what their purpose is. And they live their whole life trying to make that money to give to their grandkids. Trying to landscape their houses so it's perfect for everybody else. Trying to save up retirement so they have something. And they miss all that God has for them. Because that's not their purpose. Can God use a beautiful yard? Can He use a really good job? Yes, why are there rich Christians? Because to reach lost rich people. Because I don't see a lot of poor people going, "I'm going to go to the country club, meet me some lost, Why are there poor Christians that seem to struggle? Because He wants you to reach other poor people that are lost. He's got you where you're at for a reason. So if Hank, in his 80s, showed me, wow, there's so many that don't know. They're spending their whole life working themselves to heaven. Don't be a Hank. Don't wait till you're 80 or 83. Make changes now. If you don't know the Lord, I'd love to talk to you. If you need prayer tonight, we'll pray with you. Okay? God is speaking to you. And you need to be encouraged. We'll talk to you. Don't be embarrassed. We all need each other. I ain't got it all figured out all the time either. I'm being molded too and shaped. So we're all in this together. Let me close this. Or Jeff, would you close this place?